But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who beats his house on the ground. Now let me tell you how I read my Bible. You want to hear how I read my Bible? This is what I read. But Tunde Amosun, if I just use his word in Bible studies and don't work into my life. All right, so what we are doing tonight, I hope that it will just be a Bible study, something we can work into your life. And we are looking at actions. Many of us don't really buy the idea that our actions determine our lives. Honestly, our actions, our decisions, the kind of decisions we make, the kind of steps we take, determine our lives. They are not so much about our prayer and our wishes. Somebody said, if wishes were horses, what will happen? Beggars will ride on them. And sometimes we think that, no, it doesn't matter, just a small thing. But cumulatively, raindrops can fill a bucket. Am I right? And so, as we live our life, what we need to do is to actively begin to look at how to use this word in our life and work them into our lives. And so, as we are learning, you can ask my wife, I'm always telling myself, are we speaking what people can use? Not just kind of talk in church. You know, it's easy to just talk in church. Every pastor, that's why you don't see me organizing programs and get able to come and talk. It's easy to talk. But how do we use them? Hallelujah. So let's go to Matthew 3. And look at Jesus taking steps. And we know that our Lord Jesus really acted well with his life. Let's go to Matthew 3, verse 13. Thank you. Then Jesus, this is the, hello, can you look up here? I'm asking to keep looking up, because if you're looking down or looking away, you might want to go somewhere else. Now, in Matthew 1, in Matthew 2, Jesus was acted upon. Jesus was born. Jesus was carried. Jesus was taken to Jerusalem. Jesus was taken to Egypt. Jesus was brought back. Jesus was taken to Galilee. When the Father came back, they were carrying Jesus around. He escaped as an immigrant to Egypt. Hello? Wonder, wonder, wonder. That time, they were escaping to Africa. Now, escape from Africa. Joseph came to Africa. Jesus came to Africa. We, only from Africa. Because Africa messing up. Hallelujah. So, they acted on Jesus, did all this on Jesus, but what was his own first action in his life? According to Matthew, look at this verse. Then Jesus came, something is breaking here. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. So Jesus' first action was to go to a man of God called John. His first going out. Of course, I know he went to work. He was a carpenter. But when his life was now being shown to us as Jesus, the very first thing he did was to go to John at Jordan to be what? Baptized. And I want us to draw a clue from here. Jesus is saying that as his spiritual life was concerned, living in this world, his first action was baptism. And we said that baptism is not just putting inside water, is a beginning of a new life. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Take a look. We are learning cues from Jesus. Going to all the world, he said to them, and preach the gospel, it's okay now, to every creature. Did you see that? Now, the apostles will do that, but what will be the first step that those who heard the gospel will do? Look at next verse. He who believes and is what? Baptized will be saved. So, after you heard the gospel, your first reaction is to believe and get baptized in water. So, baptism in water was the first physical action that you do after you get saved. Some of us didn't do that, but don't worry about that. We'll talk about that. So Jesus' first action publicly as per working with God was baptism. Why? It was identifying with us. And baptism speaks of something, that you are buried, your old life is gone, your new life has begun. You know, many of us as Christians, I like that. Many of us as Christians don't see our life starting as born again. We see our life starting from when you are born and when you grow up. For instance, Aisha, we see it differently. Aisha was born a Muslim. So when she got born again now, she had to start calibrating her life as a Christian, not from well before she was Salwala. But we that are born as Christians, we have that problem. We calibrate our lives as because we grew up, we went to Methodist, we went to Bami, we went to K&S, we went to... So actually your life really began when you got saved, as per walking with God. And that's why many of us Christians, we have problems psychologically, sociologically, we have all those things because we don't recalibrate our life as Christians, as in Christ. For instance, you see all those who are talking about going abroad, they are so happy. When they get to US or UK, they are watching me now, they know it's a different ball game altogether. Life changes. Like you see that 10 o'clock, the sun is still out in summer. And by winter, by 3 o'clock, it's dark already. You have to reorganize and recalibrate your life. But particularly, it's even worse. The over there is not left-hand driving, it's right-hand driving. It's not funny at all. You're going to have to balance. So in the same way, but many of us don't see that. We just think that I'm already a grown-up person, so I just come in there. And Jesus was telling us that, look here, starting your Christian life should be recorded. Let me challenge you. Maybe this will sound way out. Stop putting emphasis on your bad day. Start putting emphasis on your new bad day. Wala bele. When were you born again? That's what will last you for eternity, not when you are born into this world. Pastor Bere, one verse a bad day, the bad day one born, one verse a bad day. See? Yeah, that's what you start interpreting to. You have all kinds of interpretations. But you see, start celebrating your new bad day. Starting yourself as a new person in Christ. If any man is in Christ, we all know the verse. Let's open it. Let's go down there. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Let's start from verse 16 to make it clearer. We know. Okay, go to verse 17 straight. All of us know verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who is he? Who is he? It's a new creation. Can we hear NLT? Pelume, thank you. Let me pull Pelume's leg. Before Pelume got married, he told me that he will not be around for week services. And he will come only on Sunday. I didn't argue with him. But he forgot that he was marrying pastor's daughter. So after I married pastor's daughter, the pastor's daughter had to go to church. So Pelume is here. Thank you. Sorry for gossiping about you. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. A new person. Tell yourself, I'm really a new person. I know you're looking at this. I'm not a new person. Good. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. If you begin to see it that way, it will go a long way. Now, look at verse 16 before that verse. Take a look. Aha! Uh-huh. So, we have stopped evaluating others and ourselves from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. So, stop looking at yourself as just third born of my father's house, and they always beat me, and I grew up not passing well in the exam, and here I am with average, and I can't go abroad because I don't have that kind of course. See yourself, I'm a brand new child in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. God has given me faith, and I can overcome in life. Can you clap your hands for Jesus for that? Now, I know that is not easy because the devil will challenge you that if you are the son of God, why is this one going in your life? If you are the son of God, why that one happen in your life? Is that not the son of God? He told Jesus, if you are the son of God, turn this stone to bread. Remember? We'll see that in a minute. So, what I want to say now is that start recalibrating your life as a Christian. I'm not saying that you go to work and say, if you don't want to say work, I'm a child of God. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that start living the inner part of your life from there. Is that all right? Let's go a step further. So, Jesus got baptized. Let's go back to John, Matthew 3, verse 18. Or is it verse 13? Matthew 3, 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John. You have to be baptized by him. And Jesus was never a sinner. He never had a bad life. He had a good life. But he started another life getting baptized. Look at next verse. Then John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. You are the cleanest. We are dirty. And are you coming to me to get baptized? Jesus answered, next verse. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So if you really want to fulfill all righteousness, if you want to live a fitting life, you have to start fitting your life into a child of God, not just who you are before. Praise God. You know, I'm married to my wife a couple of years now, 30-something years now. I have to process this almost every day that she's a child of God, not just my wife. That brings a lot of respect into my life for her. Do you know why I don't abuse you over here? Why I don't treat you anyhow? I can use you like any pastor does. Put you, and I tell you to kneel down before me, and before you do anything, you have to say. You know why I don't do that? I treat you as a child of God. I don't treat you just as a member of this ministry, and you are all just here to satisfy my goal. No. I have to work that into my system. Some people think that I'm just, you know, kind of a thing. No, I don't, because I respect who you are in God, not just because you attend this church. And this church just is a journey, it's a part of your life. You may not be here forever, but I just want to add to your journey that when you get to heaven, you look back and say, Pastor, thank you very much for treating me as a Christian, not just as a church member. I hope you're getting what I'm saying today. So Jesus was saying that I want to treat life, I want to work with you, and John, allow me to do this now. That you are just more than what I see. And then John allowed him. And look at what happened next. The Bible said this, that Jesus, when he had been baptized, he came up really from the water. And a new life began. He was a carpenter before. He was portraying this. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like him, like a dove, and lighted upon him. Now listen to this. You know, today, Christians are looking for heaven open. We don't have to pray for open heaven. When you got baptized, start a new life, heaven is open to you. Like when you got born into this life, your father's house was open to you. Am I right, everybody here? I mean, you didn't have to look for another house when you were born into this world. Your father's house was open, right? Right? Thank you. So tell yourself, I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home, and I'm living here as a child of God. Okay, let's go a step further now. So when Jesus came out of the water, two things happened to him. Heaven's open, Holy Ghost came. Do we get that? Do we get that? So Jesus coming out of the water, amazingly, and that same thing happened to us when we got to believe too. When we believe, we confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and then we receive Jesus, and then we were told about the Holy Spirit, and we got filled with the Holy Spirit, and we spoke in tongues, and then we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, praise God, somebody here. Look at next verse. And the Father spoke from heaven. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So God's pleasure is in your life. Say that with me. God's pleasure is in my life. Somebody said, I didn't do anything for God. Christ has not done anything here as per serving God. But God said, in you, I'm well pleased. How did he say it in Yoruba? Anything you know me? Giddy power. So God is saying, I really have my heart pleasure with you. Tell yourself, my father is pleased with my life. I know what you are thinking now. My life, my class, my money, my children, my work. No. You as a person. I have my children too. They go to school. They don't do well sometimes in some classes when they were growing up, secondary school. Some things they fail, but they are still my child. Or that's my children rather. And I love them. And one of them one time failed an exam. And I said, don't worry. Daddy will pay the money. You can go and repeat the exam. Don't worry. Another one came one time and said, Daddy, how will you pay my school fees? I said, that's not your problem. You want to go and read. Me, I'm to pay the school fees. Tell your neighbor beside you, your father in heaven is here to take care of you. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Do we get that? Let's make it step by step. All right. What happened to Jesus next? The Father spoke from heaven. The Holy Ghost came. How will he live his life now? By the way, he never stayed there. He moved on. Matthew 4. Let's talk about that today. It's fantastic. Talk about this today. Look at verse 1. Then. See that word, then. What's the meaning of then? Afterward. Or deriving from whatever had happened. Now, then what? Jesus came out of the water, heaven opened, Spirit of God came down. The Father said, my son. Then Jesus was led up. You know, I never seen that word up before until this evening. Led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let's talk about Jesus being led. Led. Are we here, everybody? I said, are we here, everybody? What's the meaning of the word led? It's the past tense of what? Lead. What's the meaning of lead? Somebody getting ahead of you. Am I right? And taking you to somewhere. So, what the Bible was saying was this, that Jesus, somebody got ahead of him and took him somewhere. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. That was Jesus led by the Spirit. Now, everybody read this verse with me. Can you open your mouth? Let's go. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Next verse. Okay, let's go to verse 14 to make it clearer. Let's start from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are, next verse, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, you cry out. Now, back to verse 14. For as many as are led, I wish I can split this screen. Can we do that, Bellumi? We can't do that. That's not easy. Now, I wish I can split this screen, and then we have Matthew 4, verse 1, along with Matthew, so with Romans 8, 14. So, we have Matthew 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Now, verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are what? Okay, are you battling with that? You want to do it? Okay, give us verse 14. Can you make that word led capital? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The next thing after Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, God said, you are my son. The next thing was he was led. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8 verse 14. That's Jesus, the Son of God. For as many as are, I'm not hearing your voice. By the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So, it's putting us in the class of Jesus. Whoa! Did you hear that? Jesus was led. Sometimes I just feel like jumping around and just glorify Jesus. He really came down to our level. All the other religious leaders, Muhammad, what's your other name? Buddha, Sango, all of them, they never came to our level. But Jesus came. He used what we will use. And if it worked for him, it can work for us. So Jesus was led by the Spirit. Tell yourself, I also can be led by the Spirit of God. Now tell yourself, I should be led by the Spirit of God. Some of you are feeling funny. See, Chrissy, Pastor is sitting down. Because I want to explain it further for you. Nothing's wrong with my leg. I'm going to get up. Pastor Sikosinko, nothing's wrong. But I want to get it very clear to you that I want to juxtaposition. I want you to see that what happened to Jesus can happen to us. And Jesus didn't lead himself. Jesus was led. And he said he was led up by the Spirit of God. And then he said, you, child of God, can be led by the Spirit of God. You know why I like that? You know why I like that? Life is too dangerous. Life is too hard. You never know what will happen next in our country, around our world, in our cities. You can never tell the full consequences of any step you take. Am I right, somebody here? Sometimes you think that if I just buy that TV, I'll be happier. Then you come to see that you buy the TV, it actually expands your frustration. Are you hearing me? Just imagine those days when we had only OGTV and AIT plus one or two other ones. You know that you can just soft channel. Now you now have DSTV and with 401. So there's so many choices in life today that which way am I going to go? So I need a guide. When you travel to a country, you go to a new place, and you don't know the way there, what do? You find a guide. And can I ask you a question? I want you to be very honest to answer me this question. How many of you lived yesterday? Can I see your answer? You lived yesterday, now, didn't you? I'm speaking grammar. How many of you lived yesterday? You lived yesterday. How many of you are living today? Thank you. How many of you have ever lived tomorrow before? So, but you know what? Tomorrow is our lives. I think that's Brasola's wife over there at the corner there. That's her daughter beside her. One time, that year, small girl was just falling around. Am I right? That was a past. The tomorrow has arrived there. And more tomorrow will come. Honestly, do you know that God made us in such a way that our eyes are not at the back or by our side, our eyes are at the front. Do you know why? So we can look forward to life. But the trouble is that you can't see very far. Some of us don't understand that when Jesus came here, he really became a human being. Please listen. Can I help you tonight? Some of you don't get that. When Jesus came here, he didn't come with the superlativeness of heaven following him. He didn't come with heaven's paparazzi. He became a human. And when he was caught as a human, he had to do what needed to be done. Let me show you. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let me show you. Maybe this will help you tonight. Philippians 2 verse 5. Take a look. Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. What mind? Look at your Bible. Who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God. He was in form of God when he was in heaven, before he came here. Are we here, everybody? Jesus was God. What God was, Jesus was, before he came to this world. He didn't start his life in the womb. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What God, the Father, was, Jesus was. The Father was omnipotent, Jesus was omnipotent. The Father was omnipresent, Jesus was omnipresent. The Father was omniscient, he knows everything, Jesus knew everything. But something happened when he became a baby. Look at next verse. But he made himself of no reputation. That means all the reputation of God, he dropped it. I know that's inconceivable for many of us. That's why Jesus could not do any miracle for the first 30 years until the Holy Ghost came. He was just plain human. Pure, of course, but not with all the paparazzi of heaven. Can we read this verse in NLT? Maybe make it clearer. NLT. Oh, take a look. Can you see on the screen? Instead, he gave up what? Is what? Is divine privileges. You know, that's one thing I've always loved to do, but I don't get a chance to do it. I've always loved to come and sit down in our midst there. Just come and sit down in the midst. If I come, people start moving away from my side. People want to sit near pastor. But you know what? Consciously, that I do all the time. I don't want to live in this privileged position as a pastor. I want to know what you're going through. So Jesus, the ultimate of that, he dropped his divine privileges, took what? The humble position of a slave. And was born, not as a superhuman, he was born as a human being. I know you can't fathom. No. Now, are you here? Now, so you can see why he was baptized now, why he had to have the Holy Spirit now, just like us. He's a human. Don't let all these pastors on YouTube and all these paparazzi deceive you. They are human beings too. Abadebo also goes to toilet. Hear me? You know, when his son died, he said God didn't tell him. How many of you heard that? How many of you heard that? Talking to Pastor David, so I'm not the only one here. He said, God didn't tell him. Whoa. That's me. It's human like us. But by the way, he doesn't get up in the morning or any of this bishop, and then God will say, this morning you eat beans. In the afternoon you eat rice. In the evening you eat pondo yam. They have to think through, change their clothes, do laughter. Once in a while, they fight with their wives too. Huh? Their children give them problems too.
Pastor, are you serious? They just come.
Jesus lived there. His brother gave him problems too. He got lost for 3 days one time. The mother looked for him. Don't you think that the mother will rally cool after they meet after 3 days? But your brother knocked the son of God, you withdraw your hand. When he appeared in human form, next verse. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself. Next one. I want you to see Jesus' descent. Jesus' descent. First, divine privileges. And then he descended from that divine privilege and became a human. And then he descended again, became obedient. That's going too far. Let's go again. He was divine, and he dropped to the level of human. And not only just human, he could do what he liked as a human, he became obedient. And then worse, he came down, died, what? A criminal's death on a cross. And they challenged him, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And he said, do you know, I could have called for 12 legions of angels. He didn't. You know, let's stand up and give him a standing ovation. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation, everybody. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we? Thank you. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you. Why did he do all that? Why? So that if he could live our life, we can live his life. Am I making some sense? Hallelujah. So, Jesus himself, you know, this breaks my heart many times. I don't know how to say some people don't understand this, you know. Jesus had problems just like you had. He had problems. He has issues. Perspectives of people around him. And stop thinking that because you don't have that or that's happening in your life, you don't really qualify to live. Number one, he dropped his divine privileges. If you have a chance where to be born, will you choose a manger to be born? You will not. Lord of glory. All right. So, baptized in water, became a human being. Now, as a human being, look up everybody. There's something peculiar about a human life. It's called limitations. As human beings, we can't see tomorrow. Can we? We can't see tomorrow. As human beings, we are limited in our strength. We can't be everywhere at the same time. Am I right? Are we everybody? So, how do we get the best of help? Somebody said, education is enough. That's our problem today. You know, our world is in more trouble today because of education than anything else. Look at us. We think it's going to school. We went to school so tame, we came out, we couldn't get a job. Right? Are we here? I'm not saying everything is bad, but what I'm saying is that the world we're living in today is not solving all our problems. So Jesus, in heaven's wisdom, please, are we here, everybody? He's saying that those who are going to walk with God, those who are going to live as children of God today, as human beings, they must be led. What do I say? They must have a leader that will help them navigate through life. Let's go back to Matthew 4, verse 1, and Romans 8, verse 14. I want to lay this on you, whoever you are here. Jesus was not a pastor. He was not a preacher. He was a carpenter. And he was led. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So, if you look at our world today, so many things. Do that, do this. Remember, one time they said you should be buying shares. The other time they said cryptocurrency. That's one side. Then, relational thing. Everyone come over here. 1,001 ways to get someone to marry. 25 ways of living with your husband. 27 ways of managing your children. Huh? And before you find those ways, you're already lost. Are you hearing me? And when you get to work, this is what you should do. If you get this degree, your salary will increase. You get the degree, salary didn't go up. Am I right? Anybody here? So you keep moving here and there, and whatever you get, you just... And we live in a world of deception today. You never know who is telling you the truth, right? So you must have a kind of a resource to be able to, from God, to take your life through. I just say that a lot of struggles you have in life is because you have not really appreciated the truth of the matter. Let me give an example. This guy was traveling in a train, and then one man came into the train with his 5 children. And they started making noise in the train. They were making noise. Bah, 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 cluck, cluck. I think I told you before. And everybody started getting angry. Then suddenly, that man just sat down, that came in with the 5 children, didn't attend to the children, or just like that. And the children were just, wow, making noise all over the place. And people were really angry. Then somebody asked the man, what's wrong with you? He said, I just lost my wife, the mother of these 5 children. Now, everything changed in the train. What happened? The perspective was now genuine. Before, you saw the children coming in, rude, ill-mannered, making noise. Now, they just lost their mom. You can see that picture now. You start taking pity. You start thinking, oh, what I do? What I will do with them? Do you get that now? A lot of time in life, we don't see life clearly. We don't see things clearly, including the pastor. We don't see things clearly. So, we have to be led by somebody smarter. Let me give an example. It happened just last week to our church. I think I was praying and I said, we should change something in church. We should just change this thing in church. I didn't know what's wrong. They just change that. And then that thing's already working. Let's just change it. And then they went to go and find out. When they open it, already 50% is gone in it. That's not working anymore. Now, I didn't know that before. How did I come to know? That happens to me all the time. No, not all the time. But you know, to just this is what we do. That's what you should do. How do I go about that? You know, you can, your brain can't take everything in. You know that? So Jesus, at the beginning of his life with God, he began to be led. Tell yourself, I need to be led. That's Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. You know why I'm slowing down today? I really want to sit all through, so I can talk to you. Because this is so important. Look, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, give us in NLT. For all who are led or directed or guided by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, can I see your hand? How many of you are children of God? Children of God? Now, the question is, how do I know you are God's child or God's children? When I watch your life, if I stay with you for 24 hours or for 1 week, what will I say that you are a Christian or you are a child of God? How do I know? Let's get practical now. If your husband marries you and stay with you, how will he know that you are God's children or you are a child of God? If you are working in the bank, how do I know you're child of God? Just because you carry Bible? Or because you invite me to church? How do I know? This is how I know. There's something bigger happening in your life beyond your own life. That's the only way I know. See, can I be honest with you? I'm not that kind of pastor who just want members in church. I don't need you to come to church. Just for coming for church's sake. Drop out. I just don't want to fill the chairs. No. I'm not a pastor because I'm just called. I'm a pastor because I know this thing works. And I want to share it with you. And you can also fellowship with the same fellowship with God. That's why I'm doing all this. If I'm not that kind of thing, I'll be raking money from you. So if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, then something more should be happening in your life than all you are individually, humanly speaking. If it's not happening, I would doubt that. Imagine you said to me, you are a Dangote's daughter, and I look at your house, your TV is 2005 edition. Huh? And then you live at Itoko. Sorry for those who are living at Itoko. Nah. There should be more happening in your life because you are Dangote's daughter than Tunde Amusu's daughter. All right. So here you are. What I'm saying today is that for all who are led by the Spirit of God. Now, how do you know who a child of God is led? There's something directing, guiding, leading him beside himself or herself. That I'm not saying that's happening every minute, but if you look at her life or his life, if you hear her story or his story, there's some input beyond his own natural input. If that's not there, we are fooling ourselves. If, like, my daughter had a problem when she was working in Lagos before she traveled, she employed somebody to work for her who had a bachelor's degree, I think in business admin. The driver of the company, while she was working, she was the HR person there, and then said, please, help me employ my daughter. And then the daughter came, my daughter said, okay, let me interview you before I send you down to the MD. So interviewed her and said to her, what course did you do in the university? She couldn't remember any of the courses she did. I think she had 2-1 or something. She said, which course did you do in university? She said, at least tell me one. She said, you spent 4-5 years plus as you strike in the university, and you couldn't remember one course you did. I was like, sir, CEO, we can't take this one in. There's no influence of those 5 years of BA. Biz admin in this person's life. Am I making some sense? So what I'm saying tonight is that, now please, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm saying that there is a resource available to us that we should not just be leading ourselves. Not just doing, look here, if your husband watched you for 3 months, if I ask your husband to write a note about your life now, what will he say about you? That all you are doing is all by yourself. You are only happy because that you can do. And you can't do it, you are miserable. Is there a larger interpretation to your life than just who you are as a Nigerian or as a girl or as a boy or as a married person? So, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? So I must open my life to the leading of this. I want to make it practical for us today. Are you listening, everybody here? Are we everybody? We're going to see it in the practical woof and wharf of life. I should be led. Simon, please come. Sorry for taking you. I want somebody I've not taken before. And Simon is just nearby. All of you, I know you run away from me, you stay away because I use it for drama. Yes. Now, look at Shane over here. He works in MTN. Stand over here. He gets to the office in the morning. He runs things. He has some guys working with you. Tell them, do this. And those guys come to the office to listen. Now, just imagine he doesn't go to the office. What will happen to those guys? They just be wondering. Or they call other person. What should we do? Because they take their cues from him. God doesn't want you to live as if he's absent as a child of God. You should be taking your cues from him, his spirit. Now, when I'm taking my cues from Seun, I try to come to the office every day and listen to what he has to say. And then walk like he will walk. Am I right? That's why sometimes education is bad, but training is better. Pastor, what's the difference? You see, education is going to school. Mechanic training is different. Mechanic training, they don't say lesson 101 today, 502 tomorrow. No. Thank you, don't go to your seat. Hope you're getting what I'm saying. You know, sometimes when I go to mechanic village those days, and then you see these guys polishing their bodies, you wonder, so fake party. You know? So I'm saying today that there's a larger story to your life. Let me talk like the way you talk. There should be a larger narrative to your life than just your feelings and your thoughts. Let me tap it on the screen. Larger narrative to your life than just your feelings and your thoughts. That should be, okay, let's go practical. Now, I'm going to go practical. This story in the Bible is amazing. You will like it if you're a single person. I was asking myself, that word led, see that word led, that was the first time it was used in the New Testament, led or lead. Now, I asked myself before I came here, where was this word used for the first time under the Old Testament? Hello, are we here? Hello, are we here? Oh, let me say it in today's language. For all who have input of the Spirit of God, they are God's children. You got that? For all who have what? Input of the Spirit of God, that will give them larger narrative to their life. Not only my input. Now, do you know that where I saw that word, you'll be amazed. That word led. Let's go to Genesis 24, verse 27. Amazing. This is the first time that word was used in the Old Testament. I hope I'm correct. Wow. Take a look at this. Can you make it bigger for me? If it's possible. Take a look. We are looking at the word led. We saw that word led in Matthew 4 verse 1. And then Jesus being led. That's the first time New Testament. Let's look at that word first time under the Old Testament. Can we go? And he said, don't worry about who said that. Interesting. This sounds like Quranic or some Arabic or some language, like a narrative. Okay, and he said, thank you, they're making it bigger. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, let's go, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. Next verse. Everybody, read it with me. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me. See, that's the first time that word was used in the Old Testament. It was used for the first time under the new in what? Matthew 4. Jesus being led. And this story, he said, as for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So, we are going to look at this man's life in practical terms now and see how to be led. Are we here? Are you here, everybody? He didn't say, as for me, be on the way, I staggered. I happened to just step into, you know, some people's life. When you interpret it in graph form, what you see is an organized confusion. America, it's just haphazard. There's no coordination that is making their story better. Now look at Joseph. If you look at Joseph's story, anybody will see that he looks staggered. Am I right? He was sold. He went to house of Potiphar. He got out. He went to prison. He got out. You know. Then Pharaoh came in, and then he became prime minister. But Anybody who is looking at that story in a bigger way, Joseph gave us later that that was the Lord leading him to become a resource person for the future of Israel. And that's what makes our life better. Look at your children. You're paying school fees. You're going through that. You wake up in the morning. Some of you are having younger children. It can be very difficult. See, that narrative is bad if that's where it stops. But if you see it in a larger way, I'm training a human being. I'm giving life to this guy. I'm making him to have a future like I have a future. You know, one day we were having a meeting, third service, and one young lady, very conscientious, very serious, said to herself, I don't want to have children. Are we here? I don't want to have children. And I understand, because the Western world now is driving toward not having children. You know, she was sitting over there. I'm not feeling bad that day in the service, third service. I said, I don't want to have children. And you know what I said next? I moved toward her and I said, did your mother think like that about you being born? I remember, and I said, did your mother ever think like this before you were born? If she thought like that, you will not be here. You see, because if you don't have a bigger narrative in life, even life becomes burdensome. For instance, now, I got five people in my house, trained them, spend my time. My wife was bringing out the books I bought for them years ago, and I'm practically useless. And they left the house now. Now, that story, if on the surface, it's like I've wasted my life. But even before I think further, somebody wasted their life for me to get here. Now, you guys today that are living, you are living only by the present narrative. You don't see bigger things. All you see is about how to make more money, how to do your career. You don't see that your life should have a legacy, a life should have a bigger narrative. And that's where the Holy Spirit came in. That's where you have to be led. Because if you are just going all by yourself, life has no meaning. Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. Why should you marry a man, be in your house, make life difficult for you, you cook for him every day, and when you die, he won't follow you? Why should you go through having children, and then they grow up, spend all your money, and one day they find one guy and leave your house and send you text once in a while? And don't even pay back the accommodation, they stay in your house. So, you're going to have to be led. You're going to have something directing. Because once in a while, you get tired of life. You want to give up. You don't know the reason why you're doing this. But you need somebody to be like a guide through life for you. And thank God, we Christians have that guide. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to study, what does it mean to be led? What does it mean to be led? You know, you have things you want to do, but what is leading? Now, just imagine this. I want to go to where that microphone is. Imagine that I can't see everywhere. I can stagger and stagger and stagger. If I close my eyes now, some of you will say, oh, pastor, we can't find, I go that way. No, pastor, no, I'll be doing that. That's where life is. As per the future, you are blind. You can't see. How many of you saw that the naira will be almost $1,000 to $1? You could have bought more dollars last year. Praise God. So, let's study this man. He said, the Lord led me. Say that with me. The Lord can lead me. He will lead me by the Spirit. Remember our discussions from Matthew 4 verse 1? Let's go back there. This is what we are studying. Then, Matthew 4 verse 1. Then, Jesus was what? Led up by the Spirit into where? Let's look at Romans 8:14. That's Jesus, the Son of God. For all who are what? Led by the Spirit of God. Do you know that? I was shocked to see that all the moves of Jesus, they were inspired by the Spirit. Now, you may not see the Spirit whispering in his ears and say, hey, Jesus, go to Ghana. Kind of Galilee. Jesus, go. But I think that all his life, there is an inspiration that is guiding his life. It's not only having human input. in his life. Now tell yourself, I need more than my own imputes. I need more than human imputes. Hallelujah. Now, there's another bad addition in recent time. Now, we now have some guys called today influencers. So I call them influenza. They are actually diseases. They are influencers. What are they doing? They want to influence you. And usually they have selfish agenda. They have 20 million followers on YouTube or Facebook. And then you start taking their credibility from there. Or they have a PhD or something. But you know what? They never know how your life will be led thoroughly well. You know, several times I sit down in the counseling room talking to people like this. And it's amazing when you sit down and hear a life story and things happening to them. And then, this is what I do. People don't understand this. So I'm sitting down and I say, Lord, where are they right now? How do I come in? Where do they go from here? Not just what I'm thinking. You see, what I'm thinking, that guy's really stupid, man. Why should I do that to you? No, I'm sorry. Where are they in their journey now? Like, it happened to me some days ago. I think it was Saturday. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, I'd like to see you. He was having some problem with the kid or the children, you know. So, well, he called me and I said, we should meet in church. While I was coming, the Lord asked me a question. He said, I was late. And he said to me, he said, don't make a mistake. I said, huh? He said, you know what? I want to do certain things in that man's life. That's why that child is like that at the moment. I said, whoa. The Lord said, don't focus on the child. There's much more I want to do in that person's life than that problem is facing. That problem, I want to challenge him to become bigger and better and more compassionate through it. But you know what? All I'm focusing on is what we are facing right now. Why is this happening to me? I wonder why this is happening to me. Can you just imagine this? Why what's happening to your life is happening to your life? And I think that what you want is get it off my back so I can be free. But why is God keeping it down? Let me give you an example that God gave me that day. God said to me, Abraham had two sons, right? Right? How many sons did he have? Two major sons. He had Ishmael and who? And see, if it's all about children, you think it's just about children. But he slept with Hagar. One night, a baby came called Ishmael. And then Isaac was traumatic. Are you hearing me? Was traumatic. In fact, it was Isaac's problem that brought Ishmael, right? And 25 years, so long Sunni, and his body began to depreciate and his wife's womb began to shrink. And anybody who's looking will say, oh boy, God, Jesus, where are you? But we don't remember Abraham today because of Ishmael. Today, we remember Abraham because of Isaac. Are you hearing me? Those challenges, those struggles you are going through, actually, they were meant not just to be solved, but to mold you. That's where, now, go back to Matthew 4, verse 1. Come and see something interesting here. Look at this story. Anybody who looks at this on the screen will say, this must be crazy. How can Jesus be led by the Spirit into where? Where? Why? Because wilderness is just more than wilderness. It's a place of character formation. It's a place where you make people. It's where God met Moses. Remember? Desert is desert. To be tempted by the devil. Why should God subject his own son, his own beloved that is spoke from heaven to the wilderness to be tempted and tested and tried by the devil? Why? Simple. If you are into car, if you are in auto business, when they make a new car, they don't take it to Lagos first for trade fair. They take it to desert in Morocco, in Nigeria. In the desert, in the wilderness, they drive the car in a rough, they throw it up and down, push it around. When that car stays well there, and it meets that challenges, or those challenges, they now bring it to Lagos for trade fair. And if it flip, doesn't work well, back to the factory to work on it. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Why did God put those siblings in Joseph's life? What did God do when Joseph's mother was dying and he had no mother? You know, sometimes it's easier to not have a father than have a mother. See, some of you say, I don't have a father. See, but he didn't have a mother. Mother is more important than father in growing up. Are you hearing me? Relax. You don't know what I'm talking about. Until mommy travels and you have beautiful people smoking, daddy wants to just vamoose. You know, you want to wash plates, go to something, to my jacket. Your mommy, call him. And can you imagine? Joseph will wake up every day and he had a brother to take care of. And it's a polygamous house. Her brother to take care of their own. And can you just imagine? Every night, Joseph will take his brother, go to a tent where there's no mother. Why? There's a throne that requires discipline in this mess. God didn't kill his mother, but the mother's death will be used by God's glory to make him better. We cannot tell how everything will go, but we can tell who we are going to become. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. You got that? That's why the Holy Spirit is in our life, not just to help us win lottery. For instance, someone said, Holy Spirit, please show me who to marry. Show me which country I will go. Actually, it's not about the country. You can live even inside water. You can marry anybody. But actually, it's looking for how to make your life and build it up for his glory. Are we here? Okay. Practical. How do we get led? This leading thing. Pastor, do you mean that? Holy Spirit will just come and say, Tunde Amosu, listen. Or in the night when you sleep, you have a dream. Let's look at how God led that man. Remember? That was the first time they were led in the Bible. Right? 24 Genesis 27. Let's read it again. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. What did he say? And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. What did he say? As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me. Who led him? To the house of my... So, let's go through that story. I think he said it again, verse 47. I'm not sure now. Let's look at verse 47. He said the same... Verse what? Verse 48. He said the same thing again, verse 48. Let's read it. And I bow my head and worship the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who had led me... What? Where? In the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, see something there. Who has led me? Who had led me in the way of truth? Let's go to John 16. Pastor, why is it that I don't get to be led by the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. John 16. Whoa. Beautiful. I love tonight. I hope tonight will ring in your life forever. At least for your lifetime. John 16. Are we there? Look at verse 12. Can you look up everybody or look at your Bible? Jesus was going away and he said, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to be here anymore, so because I'm here directing you, leading you. I'm going to go away now. You'll be left to the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you. What is the next? But you cannot bear them. You cannot what? I cannot bear. Look at next verse. But however, let me hear your voice, everybody. Let's go. Let me hear your voice. However, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, what will he do? He will guide you. Wow. Are we here? He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them because truth is enormous. Truth is weighty. Lies are cheap and flaky. Pastor, I want to build that business. and make some money. Let's talk about the truth of that matter. Do you want to do that business? What was you the money for? See, no, pastor, no, no, make money. Because I have bills to pay. What bills are you actually paying? Pastor, don't ask me. Just bring the money first. So, when we talk about Holy Spirit in our lives and leading us, He's taking us to the truth. But many of us don't want the truth. Why am I angry at my wife? Why am I mad at her? Because she behaves that way. Oh, maybe something deeper is at it. I don't want to hear that. I just wish, I wonder why my money is always falling short. I can't make enough money. It's deep. Maybe the truth is that you are not wisely spending the money. No, Pastor, no. What I want to say now, please don't be offended. Anybody here, don't be offended. Somebody want to lose weight. You say, okay, you want to lose your weight, reduce the food. You want to be gentle. All of us say that. Where's your money? My money is not. I'm not spending aimlessly. So, if I'm going to survive this life, I need a larger narrative. I need somebody who can look at me in my face and help me see the truth. Hello? 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 Now, let me make you laugh. Usually, I have special teeth. My teeth, I need to go and clean it up and do all that kind of things. My wife's teeth are normal. One day, my wife went to the dental people. They said, if you have people like you everywhere, we will not have any job. My wife's teeth are correct, clean, clear. But my own teeth, I just go clean it because I have to do some things. And one of the things I don't like doing is to look at my teeth with a bigger mirror. Because when I start looking at my teeth, I know that I need to go and see dental to clean it. Hello? So I have this mirror in my house called 4 times. Anybody have a mirror? No, I don't have it. My wife has it. The women deal with mirrors. So I was having a problem with this because I won't look in the mirror. Finally, I married the mirror. So I take the mirror, I won't take it, and then I start brushing better. I started cleaning things better. And my teeth began to have a new creation lifestyle. But as long as I avoid the truth about my teeth and don't want to look at the, like the guy who's driving on the road, his fuel is finishing, and then he takes paper and covers the fuel indicator. The indicator is not the fuel. Now, Pastor, what is being led by the Spirit? Being led means that it will allow you to remove the paper you are used to covering the indicator. Then it will show you the next dogs and where to get filling stations and to get fuel. And if you don't have money, it will show you how to get the money to buy the fuel. Don't you like the Holy Ghost now? Come and clap your hands for the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? Okay, now let's talk about this. How to start? He said, being led, go back to that place we read. 24 Genesis, verse 48. Being led in the way of the truth. Let's go back there. The truth. Guide to all the truth. Let's go to Genesis 24, verse 48. Hallelujah. And I bow my head and worship the Lord and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham. Who, let me hear your voice. Who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter? Wow. Let's now see how he walked in the way of truth and led. From verse 1, let's go. Beautiful. Let's go. Let's see this servant of Abraham being led by the Lord to where he was going. Let's go. Verse 1. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? So, the story opened with the master, Abraham, blessed. Next verse. So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please, follow me, everybody, put your hand under my thigh. Next verse. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that you not take a wife for my sons from daughters of Canaanite among whom I dwell. Next verse. But you shall go to my country, my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac. We are studying how to be led. But if you notice, in this beginning of this story, the very first thing about Abraham, about this story, sorry, about Abraham, satisfied with life, but discovering a need in his life. Are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? Now, Bible said he was blessed in all things, but you are right. But Abraham, notice that there is a vacuum, there is a place, there is a gap in his life he needs to fill. But listen, everybody. The very first step he took was not to employ somebody. It was to say, swear by the God of heaven. Look at the verse before this verse. What did he say? He said, and I'll make you swear by the God, the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of earth, that you not take a wife. So Abraham began to get this man to get somewhere. He has a truth in his mind. He doesn't want his son to marry from these crazy girls around Canaan. Crazy Canaan. Hello? He's focusing on the truth of this matter. Lord, I don't want to make money like the rest of the world are making money. And he said, swear. I'm going to take God involved in this. See, you are not going to be led by just asking for God's take and God's opinion. Can we say, are you hearing me? You see, in church like this, I respect your opinion. I respect my own too. But when you come to God, he's been here before you. And after you are gone, he'll be here. Same God with Abraham, your grandfather. So he said, we're looking at how to be led. See, he's looking at, I'm going to get something, but I'm going to find my way there through God. Next verse. Next verse, after that, we read that one. And the servant said to him, everybody look up here. Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take you to your back to the land from which you came? Let's look at what Abraham said. But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Why? Next verse. The Lord sees something about God in the situation. See, many of us, we usually, that's why sometimes I don't like African Christianity. We get things all mixed up. They start looking for God. And we go to church as solution center. Solution what? Center. To come and help us solve the riddle. We don't start with God. See, Abraham was starting with God. The man was saying, what about? What about? You see, that's what you're looking at. What about if I don't make it in Nigeria? What about if this business don't go? What about if I go to school? What about? You will live in what about forever. Everybody is quiet tonight. What about if dollar? What about if? He said, look at it. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying. So he's got something called the word of God. My life can't be like the rest of the people. Will not be defined by what I see around me. That's how to be led. See, many of us, we want to copy what we see around us. Why do you want that car? Why do you want that course? One time, all boys were doing mechatronics or something. Everybody was doing mechatronics. Huh? Why do you want that? Why do you want to go that way? See, the man was basing his life on the truth. Your word is truth. My problem is that, not that you don't come to church. My problem is that, what you use in church, you don't use it well. When it comes to life, why go and buy fuel for your gen, and you get home and you pour the fuel into the jerry can of water, and you don't pour it to the generator to power the generator. You see, Abraham was saying, God has promised. God says something. Let's depend on that. Look at next verse. I love this. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, no, give me the verse before this one. There's something about angels somewhere there. I've not finished it. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family, who spoke to me and saw to me, said to me, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. I'll get to the angel part of Jesus' life later. But you know, Abraham was sure that God will be there for him. Tell yourself, God will be there for me. Now tell yourself, Tunde Amusan, are you sure God will be there for you? Say that again to yourself, God will be there for me. See, that word I just said now can satisfy every of your desire. What about if I never get married? God will be there for me. What about if I never have children? God will be there for me. What about if I never make any job? God will be there for me. What about if I die? God will be there for me. Clap your hands for Jesus. God will be there for me. See, that if you don't have that, what about God will be there for me? What about if I never left Abeokuta? What about, you see, I never let any place become my God? God will be there for me. Even when I'm stranded, God will be there for me. Now, when you start thinking like that, God will start rising up on your behalf. How to be led by the Spirit. There's some problem about leading of the Spirit. He can see all you are thinking, and he can see how you are choosing. But if you just be sincere with him and say, Lord, I know, I trust you that you know what's best for me, that's going to be a beginning of good things in your life. Am I making some sense tonight? Let's go a step further. So what happened next? This man now agreed. Next verse. And if he was not willing to follow you and be released from the hold. See, this guy was so convinced that I will let God lead us and whatever consequences, we leave it to God. We are not turning back. Right? Christians have too many options. Are you hearing me? There are too many options. Even when they are going to marriage, they are thinking of somebody else. When they are starting business, they are thinking, if this one doesn't work, Shaka. Are you hearing me? Praise. That's why they can't succeed well. I have a sister, but she's a lawyer. She's practicing a big over here. You see, money's in Lagos. But she's doing whatever she can and carry on. She's just coming to be here. So, if you are going to be led by the Spirit, you have to be determined to see God in your life. And if it doesn't come, you stay with him. Is that all right? You will never get money from God as long as you just pray and thinking of other options. Hello. Some of you over here, the reason why you have never seen God financially in miracles is simply this. Anytime you have a need, 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 or 20,000, you pray, then you look at your wristwatch. And if you don't see the money quickly, you press your loan app. And when you press the loan app, they'd be more than glad to give you plus interest. God has not arrived. It happened to Abraham. His wife said, since God has closed my womb, let's have a child through. Nothing wrong with that. It's normal. It's like surrogate woman. But then, God now made her to have a child, and the child became a problem. A brother was telling me in church, he needed some money recently. And he said to himself, he said, I told myself, I'm not going to borrow. I'm just going to trust God this time around. And he said, you know, it just happened and I got this amount of money. He said, what? You see, if you're going to be led, you've got to throw yourself into the hands of God. For instance, look at our church. I want to be led to follow God financially as a pastor. I don't want to be doing the ridiculous things all those men of God do. So I don't put pressure upon you for money. But you know what? It's not that easy. Because we have to source money to get things done. Just to get diesel alone, sometimes it's about 120K, if you're using the big gym, but per week. Now, it'd be easier to try other methods and start doing other things. But then, I learned to stay, and then God just comes through. I'm making some sense today. Tell your neighbor, you have to get used to the way of God. Thank you. Let's go. Now, so what happened? Let's go now. Let's go. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, swore to him concerning his master. And the servant took 10 of his master's camels, departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand, and he arose, went to where? So, see, he said, being in the way of the truth, the Lord led me. Remember? Remember? You cannot be in your own way, doing your own thing, and then the Holy Spirit will just lead you. Pastor, I don't get what you are saying. This is what I'm saying. Lord, I want you to lead me. God said, for what? And Lord, this business is not doing quite well. What do you want from me? I know the next thing you're thinking that God bring customers. Then God will ask you a question like this. The truth. Why do you want more customers? Lord, I'm not asking that question. I said more customers. Stop. The last customer you had, Ejatukane Abi, and that gave you some real pain for 2 weeks. Now, if I bring you 10 customers, that would be 10 times 2 weeks. 20 weeks of pain. You can't even breathe anymore. Pastor, am I sort of buying you? I think I'm positive. Like one boy went home, said, Daddy, I failed my exam. Daddy said, say something positive. Said, Daddy, positively I failed. You know, truth is so important here. Truth is so important. Jesus was led by the Spirit. And when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So if you want a larger narrative in your life, you must want the truth. Say that with me. I must want the truth. I must embrace the truth. What's the truth here? John 17:17. Jesus was led up by the Spirit. John 17:17. Sanctify them. Can we hear it in Amplified Bible? Or Message? Just give us one of them. Sanctify them in the truth. Look at the bracket. What's in the bracket? I'm not hearing your voice. Set them apart for what? Your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. You know, let me make you laugh. This church is called Holiness Churches. That's about mascara. Real holiness is about embracing the truth. Are you hearing me? For instance, scarf. Somebody asked me a question on Sunday. Scarf. Tie scarf. You have covered your head. What is the truth about it? They don't know. Your word is what? Truth. So, if I'm going to find God leading me, he will lead me toward his truth, his word. I'm sorry, I had to get very plain with you today. A lot of us come to church, but we don't take his word serious. What I mean by that is this. I'm not saying you don't read your Bible, but when things happen, you don't apply what you read and seek what you need to know to apply to that. You just live like normal human narrative. That makes life difficult because you will experience what human beings experience. But when you start letting the truth dominate your thinking and let God start leading you, wow, you begin to experience larger narrative. Are we here, everybody? For instance, you are going to school. You are a boy. Your dad is well-to-do. In your own pocket, the money is not there. But that's just your own narrative. In a larger narrative, your father has all the money to pay your school fees plus more. Is that not true? And you have to now embrace that truth, not your own truth of no money in your pocket. Is that all right? I'm making some sense tonight. Pastor, I don't like tonight. You see, the reason why you don't like tonight is because you are too human. And humans and failures are cousins. Everybody, whoa, da. You know, you have to calm down and say, look at all this we are doing. You need to actually know where we are going. So let's go back to the story of Abraham's servant. Let's go back. Let's go. Where do we stop? Pardon me. Tonight is heavy. Being led by the Spirit. Where do we stop? Verse 8 or verse 9? Okay, before this one. Verse 8. Okay, verse 10. And so, he went to Mesopotamia. He went on the way to go and look for a wife. In the truth now of God's word. Next verse. Apply, you're not looking for a wife, right? You apply this one to area of your life, not just only your wife. You're looking at the lead, being led. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time. The time when, look up everybody. When what? Are you there? Smart man. You're looking for a woman, she be among the women, right? Hello? Are we here? Hello? The money you are looking for is not going to drop from heaven. It's around among us men here. Let me make you laugh. Can I make you laugh? Can I make you laugh? I know you won't like this one. It's the truth. If you're praying for money, that God, I need some amount of money, where will it come from? God will just open heaven's bank account and say, Tola, zoom. No, it will come through men, right? I don't have the time. Do I have the time? Matthew 7. Let's see something quickly. Verse 11. I'll come back to that in minutes. If you then being evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what? Are we here, everybody? Give what? Now, you know the bad thing about this story is that God is a spirit. Good things are here. See, this verse has been so confusing. People say, how can God give us? It's in heaven. But it's going to give us through men, right? Now, look at this verse. This will be so dramatic in your life. Therefore, from where? Because God gave good things to us. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you. If you are praying for money, that God should give you money, God will use men. And the reason why you don't get from men is because you don't give to men. Are we here? He said, therefore, that means he's drawing the conclusion. I'm praying, Lord God. He must learn how to interact with men. See, you will not get what God can give you through men when you don't do that same thing toward men. Oh. What I'm saying is this. In God leading you, people are involved. Say amen, somebody. In God leading you, people are involved. Now, look at Abraham. He was looking for a child. He was looking for a wife for his son. Did he go himself? Who went for him? A man that was faithful servant to him. If he had not been faithful to Abraham, Abraham had not been faithful to him, he would not have that take place. Hello? Sometimes what we call delay is simply God struggling with the narrative that we are not carrying out in our own lives. For instance, you are a lady You are 7 months pregnant and say, Lord, let this children, let this baby come. You have to wait 9 months because that's the human gestation. If it came in 3 months, what will I call him? No. So God had to wait on us a lot of time. Lot of time. Many of you over here, your real struggle is that the way you relate with men is affecting your relationship with God. So being led, let me give an example now. You're praying for money. What will make God get somebody to wake up in his house and say, take this money, go give that guy 50,000 naira. What will make him do that? Not just because God is commanding him, it's because you are doing something like that for somebody else. Hello. Hello. If you are praying that God will lead you to have A in your course and you don't go to the class, listen to the teacher. Who will mark your script? The teacher that you respect, you don't respect, the teacher that you don't listen to in the class, what will he give you? To? Even if God says he should give you A, he will hear zero. So, Abraham's servant went to the well where women were drawing water. Now, how will he get what? How will he be led now? Are we here? Are we learning? Pastor, this is marriage counseling. No. Life counseling. How will we get the right person? Let's round up. Our time is up. How will you get the right job? How will you get the right location? You know, people go abroad. Sometimes I feel sorry for them. They never study where they are going. They never study where they are going. They never know where they are going. Abraham's servant, being led, sat down, went to where the woman was fetching water, and he took his time. And he prayed this prayer. Let's go back there. And round up. Chapter 24, Genesis. Is it verse 13 now? Or verse 14? Let's round up. Being led in the way. Verse 14 or verse what? Now let's round up quickly. Our time is first spent. Now, let's go. Verse what? 13, to make it clearer. Behold. Okay, verse 12, because it's talking. Then he said. Okay, verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And take a look at this. You have choices. All the women are there. And then, how can you be led? He stopped. What did he do? Next verse. Then he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, please give me what? Success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Let's keep reading. What is he asking for? Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Daughters. By the way, he was not looking around when he was praying, Lord, God, Master Abraham, girls are coming here. Many offices, many positions, many options, Lord. Do you know tonight, if you stop there, things will happen in our lives. If we learn to start, you know, I read a particular verse in Matthew 4, verse 1. It said, then Jesus was led up, not around. Something I noticed. Can I give some practical things? I usually get my best leadings when I'm praying. I usually get my best leadings, guidance, when I'm praying. I don't get my best leading when I'm watching tennis or watching film. And I get some ideas there. But my best leadings take place. I receive a lot of, like happened last week, I said, we're praying, you know, I was praying with my room, I was praying. I get up and I said, let's go and buy this, get this together, put that over there. And bam, by the weekend, it's done. In my younger days, I'd be thinking, wondering how to get that done, get this done. And my wife said, you have too many ideas. Remember those things? Now, that I don't do anymore now. I just pray, read my Bible. As I'm praying, talking to God, things showed up. In fact, things will be dealt with in my life, dealt with in other people's life. See, the changes that will take place in your life can happen when you are looking through Facebook. When, let me tell you the truth, and I know you don't like it, some of you don't like it over here. As long as you are gossiping around, you're not going to get what you should do with your life. But if you can just sit down and get into God and really pray and ask Him sincerely, Lord, where do you go with this? How do I go with that? And really desire to do that, things will change. But as long as you just want to come in and say, God, why now? I don't understand now. And you walk away. You're just a guest, not a house member. See that guy? He just stopped. And there are guests coming. He said, Lord, you know, sometimes when I go out, that's why I don't like going out to people. You go to their office. Pastor. Efun Aladura. You see, I should not bring Adura. That should be part of your life. See, issues in life. Oh, you're praying about them, talking to God. But many of us don't talk to God. We just think, look what I think. And then we now get into trouble and start asking God to bail us out. No, don't do that. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, let me shock you. This man that you are praying for to get his wife, when his own children came alive, they got their wives by themselves. They never sought the leading of God. They never prayed about anything. Isaac had Rebekah by this intervention. But when they gave back to their children, they gave back to two boys, right? Same day, Esau and who? Jacob. And Esau married one girl, second girl, got two girls quickly. And they came home and tormented the parents. Huh? And Jacob was not thinking of a girl because he liked his mother. His mama said, Papa. So when they were thinking of killing each other, the mother snatched Jacob, said, Kotopai, oh yeah, transport bush to my brother, who was a very corny craftsmanship. You hear me? So when Jacob got that there, whoa, he saw this uncle's girl. She was so beautiful, man. Bible says, in shape and in form, Koyemi. She was mom. And then Bible said, Jacob wept. See, I mean, can you imagine he was so overcome, he started crying. That's Mona Lisa. You know Mona Lisa? You know Mona Lisa? See, and then, I like you. He said, huh? But she was an idol worshiper. So not a Jehovah worshiper. When they were leaving their father's house, she took her father's idol along with them. And she died on the way. Yeah. Now, when Jacob left home and the mother said, go and marry, Esau said, you don't like my wife. I'll get another wife. And then he went to Ishmael. Remember Ishmael, the cousin of Isaac, to go and get another girl, making three for them. Pastor, what about marriage tonight? Not about marriage. I'm talking about applying this person said, being led. That means you pray. Even in the midst of the girls coming to the water, you pray. Lord, what do I do with this? Our time is fast spent tonight, but I think I've helped you in a way. Let's close with a story. Let's go back to that story and round up. Are you blessed tonight? Let's close. Where's this? Where do we close with? And it happened before he had finished speaking. Bo! See, speaking to who? Speaking to the girls? on Facebook, Instagram. No. Before that, behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her picture on her shoulder. And what happened next? You know what she prayed? You know what the man prayed? He prayed, Lord, we didn't read this prayer. Let's read this prayer. Let's go back. Please let down. Go back. Thank you. Next verse. Behold, here I stand by the well of water. Man, sisters are coming to draw water. Next verse. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she said, drink. I also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Can I ask you a question? How did he know he should pray for the person to fetch water for her, for him? How did he know what to pray? Who can tell me? Huh? Thank you. See, when he opened his mouth, his prayer began to be directed by God. Whoa. Are you listening to somebody here? See, thank you. Being led. See, the Holy Spirit was involved here. Even his prayer. Likewise, the Spirit helped us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. As I began to pray, and thank God today, we can pray in tongues. You couldn't pray in tongues, but we can pray in tongues. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. We can pray in tongues today. You see, he was praying. He was talking. He was talking to God. And today we can pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And he started praying the right prayer. I don't know about you. It happens to me. I'm praying. I just feel like I should go and do something. I should make that happen there. And I pray that prayer. Boom, it happens. And I say, Tony, I'm also a whiz kid. I'm not whiz nothing. I'm just praying, praying person. No, whiz nothing. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So learning to pray. Put this in the hands of God. And even in prayer, God will shape your mouth and shape your mind to pray the right way. Being led in the way of the truth to where I find. And you see, while he was praying, before he finished speaking, what happened? The girl was there. Why? Because direction was coming by the Spirit through him, through her, jammed together. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to close with this Psalm Isaiah 64 verse 7. I know our time is really spent tonight, but I want to close with this. I want to show you what to pray when it comes to being led by the Spirit. Oh, glory to Jesus. Mark this verse. Take it home and think about it. I want you to look at that verse. There is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Now, God's face looks hidden. And they have been consumed in their own iniquities and their own trouble. But it says somebody can do something. And there are things you can do. It said three things you can do. Number one, you can call on his name. Lord, I know you are my God. Abraham said, I know my God. He sent this angel. He was calling God's name on the situation. And second, he stirred up himself to take hold of God. When the man said, you may not get the girl, you may not have the wife, he said, no, God of heaven. He stirred himself up to believe, to trust that this will work out. But as long as you talk, I don't know what will happen. We just got married, things are not happening. I don't know. Don't talk like that. You are destroying your own future. Your mouth is being led to the iniquity that is going to consume you. Stir yourself up to take hold of God. Tell, I believe God. Abraham was saying that, I believe God. I know he will make a way available. He will get me through. He will come through for you. Praise God, somebody. Then you take hold of God. You know me love taking hold of God? Shem, come one more time. Come. Shem, come. Sorry, I'm on your case today. Come. Shem, can you come? Sorry for putting you up like that. I know you don't like, you're like me, you don't like to be seen. Come. You see, notice what I did. I call upon his name. Second, I'm taking hold of him. Can you help me carry this? See, I'm trying to take hold of him to do something for me. That's how you have to do with God. You have to bring God. You have to, see, I call him first. Hallelujah. And then he comes and says, do this for me. So in the same way, get into your room. Over any issue. You want to be led by God? You want to, don't say, Lord, I know about this. I know about speaker. Lord, don't worry. Just go. I know about speaker. I can take care of it. You now buy this speaker. And then the speaker doesn't have Twitter. And it's not sounding very well. God, why? God said, how can I disappoint you? We never had any appointment. I can't disappoint because there's no appointment. Is that all right? Now, do you know, as I close, some of you are thinking like this, Pastor, you are a man of God, you can go to your seat. You don't know what I'm going through. If you start calling upon God where you are, whatever is happening in your life, start talking to the Lord about it. You'll see things. Some of you over here, you are living in worry. But let God lead you out of it. Oh, what will happen? Well, just stop and say, God, I'm worrying about this now, but I need your hand in this, and I want you to help me out of this. God, you are the only one I have. Before you start doing that kind of thing, God start giving you a way out of it. Are you hearing me? Is that clear tonight? Are you blessed tonight? So being led is important because you are human. You don't have all the answers. But thank God, somebody's in your life who has all the answers. Can we say amen to that? Pastor, why do you spend all this night on this? Because that is the greatest thing in Jesus' life. Wherever I went, whatever I did, whatever I said, it was guided by his Father's Spirit. Let's bow our heads and thank God, our Father, for giving us his Spirit. Can we do that? Lord, thank you for the Spirit. Father, thank you for your Spirit in my life. Thank you for the opportunity, the largeness of the narrative you have for me. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, I don't want to be interpreting my life in my own thoughts and my own feelings alone. I want your Spirit to begin to enlarge my scope. Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you to interfere, to intervene, to lead me, to guide me. On purpose, I surrender my will, my thoughts, my feelings to you. And I say, work out what you want. Guide me and lead me. At this moment, life is so full of many options. But I know your ways are better. And thank you for guiding me tonight. Now, on purpose, do something. Rejoice where you are right now. Whether you have or you don't have that, whether you need or you don't need that, just can you lift up your hands and say, Father, I rejoice where I am now because you are capable to take me from here to where you want me to go. Can you say, Lord, I rejoice where I am right now. I rejoice in my station. I rejoice in my opportunities. I rejoice in my challenges. I rejoice that there's much more for me. There's much more for me. As a wife, as a husband, as a single person, as a business person, as a civil servant, there's much more for me where I am right now. This is going to increase more. Thank you for the wine that has finished because better wine is coming from you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this upbringing I've had, for this challenge in my life. I'm believing and I know that you are able to work out your plan and I'll be happy at the end of the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank him in tongues. Let's thank him in tongues. Let's appreciate God in tongues. Let's just thank him from our spirit. Let's just thank him in the spirit. Now, don't condemn yourself. You are a child of God. You are to be led. You have a right to be led and to be guided. And tell yourself, no matter what has happened to you, the Spirit of God has come to guide you, to lead you, to take you there. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, let me tell you something as I round up. I hope next week I will deal with that. Pastor, how do you come to know things when you are praying? Jesus said, watch and pray. I'll teach you next week, God willing, if Christ comes, we'll have teaching in heaven. I'll teach you how to watch. You see, when I'm praying, I see things. I'm watching. Not because I'm a prophet or anything. I'm looking. I'm looking my spirit. For instance, you know what happened? When we are praying now, as I was praying, I'm watching. And you know what I was watching? You know what I saw? I saw Abraham. The story I was telling you. And I saw Abraham very, very old. When we were praying. I was looking at that story. And I saw Abraham very, very old. Couldn't go anywhere. Call his servant to go for him. I said, what? What he couldn't do, God and people step in. You get what I'm saying? So wherever you are right now, what you don't have, what you are old in, what you cannot take hold of yourself, the Father will take hold of it for you. You know, Abraham struggled 100 years old to get a child. I just saw that when we were praying. I mean, 100 years old, have a child. What will you be like? That should be around, Abraham was, that time should be around 35, 40, thereabout. Isaac, 35, 40. Can you imagine? You are 140 years old. What could you do? How far can you go? But you know what he did? He turned it over to God and it became a beautiful story. Hallelujah, somebody here. So in our weakness, we are strong. Let's lift our hands and thank him for that. In my weakness, in what I don't have, in where I'm old, where I'm incapable, Lord, where I cannot turn the thing over by myself, I want to thank you this moment that you are able to perform all things for me. And I appreciate you tonight, this hour, that you love me enough to make great plans for my future. And I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our offering and get out of here. Hallelujah. This God is good. He's good. He's good. I know he's good. Oh, yes, he's good. That's a long ago song. This God is wonderful. He's wonderful. I know he is wonderful. Oh, yes. This God is gracious. To me. Yeah, that's right. Remember the song. Let's give and get out of here. Tell us.